Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself and put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do next." Then she said to her, "All that you have said to me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all her mother-in-law had instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went and lay down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. That's where I was supposed to end. Sorry about that. Okay, we'll come into a sermon now, but before we start, let's pray. Almighty and eternal Father, we thank you that you have been with us through this past week. We thank you that you know our plans, the plans of our heart, and that you can even use them to fulfill your will. Lord, as we come with this time where we aren't able to meet in the same way that we normally do, that even so, you still have plans for us. We have plans for ourselves that we cannot often keep, but you work out your plans in a way that gives glory and honor to you. As we come to this plan that Naomi had, we will see how you used it for the good of them as well. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this sermon, Naomi's Plan. Now, the world has always been captivated by stories of great love. Stories such as Romeo and Juliet, the star-crossed lovers, or their modern-day counterparts of Tony and Maria in West Side Story. Of course, there are the modern-day film adventure love stories with Princess Leia and Han Solo, or Clark Kent and Lois Lane. The story of Boaz and of Ruth might also be listed as one of those great love stories of all time. Chapter 1 ends with the beginning of the barley harvest, and chapter 2 ends with the end of the wheat harvest. Time has passed, and now it's the end of the harvest, and the scene shifts from the field to the threshing floor. Neither are safe places for women. Now, do you remember what threshing is? In threshing, they remove the grain from the husks that hold them together as the fruit of the crop. The crop is then winnowed or tossed into the air, and all the husks, being lighter, would be blown away by the wind, and their heavier grain would fall to the ground, where it would be scooped up and put into bags for storage. Boaz would have slept by the grain to guard it since threshing and winnowing was done in an open place where there would have been quite the possibility of thievery as well as strong winds which could blow it away. It was likely that several of his men also did the same thing in order to surround the threshing floor and protect the grain. Remember, the harvest had been a good one. God had moved in the lives of the three main characters, Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. With the harvest being a good one, they had been supplied with enough grain for many months. Also, Ruth had been kept safe from dangers of the harvest and of the unwanted advances of male farm workers. Though God has been present throughout the story, greater action is needed, and Naomi now is the instigator of what is going to happen. Naomi's role in the story becomes that of a matchmaker, and she directs Ruth to go to Boaz on the night of the great harvest feast. You'll recall from last week that when Ruth got home and told Naomi that she'd been gleaning in the field of a man named Boaz, Naomi suddenly brightened up. According to God's remarkable sovereignty, it turned out that Boaz was a relative of Ruth's dead husband. Naomi suddenly realized that Boaz might be the answer to their dilemma, because he's what was called a Goel, or a kinsman redeemer. Remember last week we briefly spoke about the kinsman redeemer's role from Leviticus and Deuteronomy. If you do not, then you may ask, what in the world is a kinsman redeemer? Well, they have a custom in those days, designated by the law of Moses, for a man to have the right to rescue a close relative from servitude, or to restore lands lost by an unpaid debt. The second right of the kinsman redeemer was to marry the widow of the brother or relative, and to raise up his firstborn son in the name of the dead relative. Boaz was qualified to be this kinsman redeemer, to marry Ruth and perpetuate Elimelech's line. So even in the midst of Ruth and Naomi's misfortune, God still had a plan to take care of them. It's pretty cool, right? Well, the harvest was over, and now the threshing was completed. So Boaz is getting ready to celebrate. Naomi starts to think. And in verse 1 of our text, we see Naomi telling Ruth about how to ensure that Boaz's words of chapter 2 can become a reality sooner rather than later. Her plan was to get Boaz into action, to complete the transaction from partial redeemer to full redeemer. Her plan was simple. Be attractive. Be attentive. Be assertive. And be available to see what happens. Look with me again at verses 1 to 4 of chapter 3. Only this time I'll read from the Amplified Version. One day Naomi said to Ruth, "My dear daughter, isn't it about time I arranged a good home for you, where you will be well provided for, so that you can have a happy life? Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is our kinsman, a relative of ours. Maybe it's time to make our move. Tonight is the night he will be winnowing his barley harvest at the threshing floor. Take a bath, put on some perfume, get all dressed up and go to the threshing floor. But don't let him know that you're there until the party is well underway and he's had plenty to eat and to drink. When you see him slip off to sleep, watch where he lies down and then go there. Uncover his feet and lie down to let him know that you are available to him for marriage. Then wait and see what he'll say. He'll tell you what to do." Naomi starts in a way that gets Ruth thinking about her future, saying, "Isn't it about time we found a good home for you, where you will be well provided for, so you can have a happy life?" She'd had this thought back in chapter 1, verse 11, when they were leaving Moab, and she suggested that Ruth go back to her father's house and find rest in the house of a new husband. Naomi is giving Ruth advice on how this might be done here in Israel, now that she knows that Boaz is on the scene. Although we assume that what Naomi told Ruth to do was customary, there was a certain element of risk involved in sending a lady to lie down in an isolated place next to a man who had been drinking. However, Naomi thought the risk was worth taking. Why? Well, Naomi saw two laws combined in Boaz, their close relative. Well, what laws were they? Those of the kinsman redeemer. What do these laws then state? Well, according to the Mosaic laws, there are two parts that relate to the kinsman redeemer and how he is to save his extended family from poverty and from extinction. These two parts are called the Goel and the Levirate. The first is found in Leviticus 25, the verses 47 to 55, and it deals with the Goel aspect of the redemption of land and people. This passage states that if a Jew became poor beyond the ability to survive and had to sell his property or himself into servitude, one of his relatives could redeem him. That is, essentially, pay off the debt and buy him back. If the kinsman paid the price, the owner had no choice but to sell back the lost property and release the servant. Basically, this means that Boaz could buy back Elimelech's family property that had been lost in a time of poverty. The property was probably given up when they left for Moab. Also note that the wife of the deceased husband went along with the property. This was all part of the covenant Israel had made with God, that each family would have a property that should not go to another tribe or another people. This was their inheritance. This shows as part of God's character that his people and possessions would always be his, even though his people might sell themselves into slavery. But he would come and he would redeem them. The second is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5, the verses 5 to 10. And it deals with the levirate marriage aspect. This law says that if a man dies, his brother would marry the widow and raise the firstborn child in the name of the dead brother, if he was able and willing to do it. The kinsman was also required to maintain the deceased man's inheritance until the child was old enough to receive it. This is now called the levirate marriage, derived from the Latin leverer, meaning brother-in-law. No connection to the Hebrews, Levites, or the Leviticus at all. This was part of God's plan in dealing with the sinfulness of this world by guaranteeing that no man was without access to the fruit of the land, either her father's, her husband's, or her son's harvest. In the event of a husband's death where the widow had no male child, the financial provision for the widow and associated women, that is, female children, would fall upon the dead husband's kinsman. It was his responsibility to care for her and to provide her with an ear for the dead husband's land, so that the family and the descendants would not starve. Boaz could marry Ruth according to the law of Deuteronomy 25, giving Ruth and Naomi someone to provide for them. He could also redeem Elimelech's property, thus fulfilling the law of Leviticus 25. Boaz was eligible on both accounts, not only to serve as a redeemer for his people, for his family, but also to marry Ruth and raise up children in her deceased family name, so that the name would not be lost forever. Boaz could be her redeemer. But Boaz's hands were tied in the matter of marrying Ruth. It was not up to him. He could not claim her for his wife. It had to be Ruth's move. Ruth's action was in accord with the law of Deuteronomy 25, which allowed for the initiative of the widow to seek marriage when the nearest kinsman refused to act on her behalf. Now, Naomi's advice starts with, go and make yourself attractive. Take a bath, put on perfume and your best clothes. You need to show that your mourning is over. Yes, you've been mourning for a long time now, and rightly so. However, that time has passed, and it's now time for you to start living again. Who knows, perhaps it is because of this that Boaz has never really taken a total interest in you out of respect. He knew you would be in mourning, so he's never pursued you. Next, she tells Ruth to be attentive. When you get to the threshing floor, make sure no one sees you. Pay attention to where Boaz finally rests for the evening after the party has ended. Boaz, being the boss, would not have slept with everybody else. So, Ruth would not have to tiptoe across lots of people to reach the place where Boaz would lie down. Then it's time for you to be assertive. Go, uncover his feet, lie down at them, and wait for further instructions. Naomi is asking Ruth to take a tremendous leap of faith here. Ruth was being told to approach Boaz in humility, as a servant, in honor and submission. This is not a sexually deviant act, but one of great grace and service. Look at what Jesus did in John chapter 13, verses 2 to 8, where he got up, took off his outer clothing, put on an apron or a towel, and went and washed his disciples' feet. The point of uncovering the feet might have been to cause the individual to awaken because their feet were cold. Lying down was a custom not mentioned anywhere else in the ancient writings, but in the context here, it makes it clear that this is a request for marriage. Boaz does not think it is promiscuous in any way. Ancient people used garments symbolically in many different ways. Among the peoples of that region, to spread the corner of your garment over a woman was to take her in marriage. So verse 9 of chapter 3 is definitely a proposal, where it says, and he said to her, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. So Ruth simply acts out a request that she makes verbal in verse 9. The corner or wings of the husband's long robe around his wife symbolized that he would protect her, symbolized the protective rest that he would give her. By consenting to Ruth's request, Boaz would fulfill his own prayer that he offered for her in chapter 2, verse 12, where he said, by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. This metaphor is used in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 8 as well, as an expression of marriage to describe God's relation to Israel. It could also mean wings, a concept often used throughout Scripture to signify protection. Remember, Jesus said that when he came to Jerusalem, he said, how many times have I not prayed that I would take you under my wings, but you were not wanting to. Lastly, Ruth is to be available. Ruth, Boaz will tell you what to do, she's told. stand ready to receive further instructions and be available to hear him. Ruth has demonstrated an attitude of responsibility to the family instead of following natural inclinations of going after younger men. She is not chased after meaningless pursuit, even in a time of need. Remember how most women would sell themselves because they needed provision. Boaz encourages Ruth not to be afraid. Boaz will take care of it. And furthermore, the townspeople know that she is of noble character. Boaz speaks not of marriage here, but of doing the part of a kinsman. However, Boaz is not necessarily bound by the law. He is no obligation or responsibility, as it was in those days where everyone did what was right in their own eyes, which makes his actions and his character stand out all the more as he says that he will protect her. But also because, as we will see next week, he's not the closest relative to the family. And the other might want to take on that responsibility instead. It's an incredible act of loyalty to stand and wait for instructions. So why are these four things important for Ruth to do? Well, there are also four reasons. Things need to be done for a right purpose. They need to go to the right person. We need to use the right preparations and be in the right time and place. So Ruth's purpose for going to the threshing floor and lying down at the feet of Boaz was to establish a lasting relationship with him. In Ruth chapter 1, Ruth didn't even know that Boaz existed. Then in chapter 2, she saw him only as her benefactor, the one who fed her and protected her. Then she discovered that Boaz was a relative, a near kinsman, someone who could redeem her. Now Ruth wanted to establish a permanent relationship with him. You know, some Christians miss this point and never reach that inner sanctum with the Lord. They want to put their lives together just to escape their problems. Or some become satisfied with a casual relationship with the Lord, hoping for the good things from God, but not the responsibilities of serving the Lord. They want God's protection, but not necessarily his guidance. They want his provisions, but not too much effort on our part, if possible, please. We ought to seek the same things in our Christian life that Ruth sought with Boaz, a desire to know God intimately and to be in total committed relationship with him. Our relationship with the Lord must be more than just a casual friendship for the sole purpose of receiving his protection, his blessings and his provision. We should desire to have a deep, intimate, lasting relationship with him. After all, the reasons our lives are falling apart sometimes in the first place is because we get away from having a close relationship with him. Second, we must go to the right person. Ruth, we're told, could have settled for less than the best and fallen in love and married another man if she had desired. She was young, and from what we gather from the text, apparently attractive. She had become a believer in the true God and had identified herself with the people of Israel. So she was not off limits to any Jewish suitor who might present themselves. But not only could Boaz meet her needs, he could also restore the lost wealth of Elimelech. And it was he who Ruth wanted to marry. Now, to fulfill the law of the kinsman redeemer, if the man were not an immediate relative of her former husband's brother, he could become a kinsman redeemer on two conditions: if he were able and if he were willing. Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer, has met both of these conditions in redeeming us. First, he is able. In fact, Christ is the only one in the universe who is able to redeem us, because he was sinless. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, "For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Because of his sinless perfection, Jesus was able to redeem us from our sins. That's why we are told in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, "Therefore he is able to save them to the utmost that come to God through him." So Jesus meets the first condition of a kinsman redeemer. He's able to redeem us. But is Christ willing to redeem us? No, is he ever? Have a look at John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Jesus made that very clear when he says, Therefore does my Father love me? Because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. Oh yes, Jesus is willing to save us. So Jesus Christ is the right person, the only person for us to dedicate our lives to, because he loves us and is both willing and able to save us. Third, we need to make the right preparations. Naomi told Ruth exactly how to prepare herself for meeting with Boaz. Yet, why did Naomi tell Ruth to go to Boaz in the night? Probably so that Boaz could reject the proposal without the whole town knowing about it. But in the end, Boaz senses that Ruth's intentions are pure and decides to set about fulfilling the role of kinsman redeemer if it can be worked out. Naomi's instructions to Ruth have a spiritual implication for us today also. We need to wash ourselves. This speaks of us and our need to be cleansed from our sin. We need to anoint ourselves. Anointing with oil speaks of the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. To develop a close, abiding relationship with Christ, we need to not only be washed from our sins, but also to be filled with the Holy Spirit. As Paul says it, daily surrendering to the Holy Spirit, letting him control our lives, is absolutely necessary for a close relationship with Jesus. We need to clothe ourselves. We are to do the same thing in our Christian life. Many of us who have been saved, but we want to wear the old clothes of sin, the flesh, the world, or ourselves. God wants us to put off the old man and to put on the new man. Colossians 3 verse 8 says, "But now also put off these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of God that created you." We are to put off the evil things of our lives. Excuse me. Then Paul tells us what to do in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bear one with another, and forgive one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also you forgive them. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Finally, we need to be at the right place. Ruth was to go to the feet of her kinsman redeemer, which in the Oriental culture was a place of total submission. If you want to put your life together, you've also got to come to the right place, the place of total submission to your Lord. This is the kind of commitment referred to in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So Ruth, she came with the right purpose, to the right person, having made the right preparation and having put herself in the right place, the place of total submission. Ruth now rests and waits to see what Boaz will do. She trusts his word. Have you come to the feet of the Lord of the harvest? Naomi told Ruth, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for you, that it may go well with you? We will find no rest until we come to Jesus Christ and submit to his lordship. This place of submission is the only place where God can begin to solve our problems and put our lives back together again. If we stay in the field and labor under our own under our own resources, yes, we'll get by, and we will even have a measure of protection and guidance from the Lord, but we'll be missing out on the greatest thing that we could ever have, an intimate relationship with the Lord. Let's not do as Naomi initially had done by rebelling and arguing with God working in her life or worrying about her future. Let's be attractive by cleansing our lives from sin. Let's be attentive and submit to the Holy Spirit every day of our lives. Let's be available to present ourselves to Christ in total submission to his perfect will and his commands in our lives, that we may be used by him. The challenge is, do you trust God the way these women did? Will you come to him the right purpose, the right person, with the right purpose, having made the right preparations, to the only right place there is to come, the foot of your master at the cross? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, as we go from this place today, help us to see that we need to be just like Ruth, that we need to come prepared to live a life according to your will as we place ourselves in total submission to you at the foot of the cross. Help us, Lord, to wait patiently for your instruction as to what we are to do, knowing that we have come to you, the only person who could save us, the only person who is able to redeem us fully, just as Ruth came to Boaz, although she did not know at the time when she came that he may not be the right person. She trusted that he would tell her what to do, Help us to trust you in this same way, that we may tell others about how great a God you are, how you have redeemed us and saved us from all our sin. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.